So this is a part of a two-part sermon. So this is part one. So the title is called The Rest of Your Time, or The Rest of Our Time. So again, part one, if you have your Bible with you, you can straight away turn to 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 1 to 6. All right? 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 1 to 6. Now, I don't know about you, but I was born in about 1983. So I'm 40 years old this year. I'm not going to ask you to raise up your hand, you know, if you are same age or others. All right. Born in the 80s, it gave me privileges. All right. Privileges that is found in no other generation. All right. Especially for those who were born before me, obviously you are even more blessed because you are able to see certain things. And one thing that I noticed that is so magnificent and so unique throughout my 40 years is that I remember time differently. Time, T-I-M-E. I remember time differently at various phases of my life. Now, why do I say that? How many of you still read hard copy newspaper today? Right, good, awesome. Hard copy, yeah, hard copy, all right. So my dad has the soft copy PDF, The Star. All right, it is about 60 MB, all right, 100 over pages, and it is sent out to our family group every day. So we have soft copy, newspaper, and those days in 1996, I was about 13, 12, all this time, right? Those days, I still remember the first, or maybe the only column that I looked to, that I read through in the newspaper. Can you guess what it is? TV channels. What's next? What is coming this Saturday? Because Saturday is the only time I have that is free, especially in the morning. So we have all the TV 1, TV 2, TV 3 programs lined up. So 9:30, 9 o'clock, 8:30 is perfectly lined up in such a way that if you miss it, that's it. If you miss the program those days, that's it. So that is the leverage that our parents had on me. If you don't do your homework, if you don't behave yourself, if you don't do certain things by certain time, they are going to cut short these so-called TV programs. And mind you, that is the only time that I can watch TV. And after that, you notice that the concept of time changed since internet came into the picture. Now we have YouTube. YouTube is a blessing, especially to me, because now it has the capacity to pause. You can share the video. You can upload your own video. And all this started back in February 2005 until today. It has always been there to me. All right. So today, if you look at it, wow, such an amazing tool. The concept of time has been such blurry in a sense. I can always go back to the video again and again and again, regardless of the time. I can do it in the morning. I can do it in the afternoon. I can watch it when I'm in the toilet. I can watch it before I sleep. I can do it literally anywhere as long as I have my device with me. Now, what is even mind-blowing than YouTube is this guy called Kuamo, Amogut. Any one of you know who is this guy? No, ah. Okay. All right, the younger generation, this is the pioneer of a phenomena where we can see today. Now, this guy, what he does is that he watched the whole movie. I love movies, right? He watched the whole movies. He edited the movie, cut and paste, and linked them up to a short 6 minutes brief. Right, so when you watch his channel, he will have the title of the movie and he will have a review and, you know, the short 6 minutes to describe what happens in the 2 hours. Now, this is something mind-blowing to me, especially because now I'm a parent, I'm a father of two. I don't really have time to go through 2 hours, even though I can pause and pause and pause. So nowadays, I watch the same movie, 3 parts. Part one, half an hour. Part 2, 45 minutes. Part 3, the rest of the 45 minutes. So this is how I have been going on with my so-called leisure time, watching movie. Now this guy came along, and today we see there are many, many, many following him. Long, you know, 100 episodes drama can be shrink to 1.5 hours. Can you imagine the impact of this to us, even though we may not be aware of it? Technology, in a way, has numbed our sense of time. We are seated here, you know. Our service is 1 hour, 50 minutes. And because we are physically here, and time is linear, we cannot just come for the first 10 minutes, and then, you know, we have to be here throughout the 1 hour and 15 minutes. And you notice that it is really hard for us to focus, because our mind will be wandering off. And then technologies have helped us to shrink a lot of things into a shorter period of time. Now, to me, it is a blessing in disguise, perhaps. But along these blessings, you will notice that there is a danger, because our sense of time has been numb. And in a way, technology may have numbed a lot of our senses, not only time. So let's look at our passage this morning and see how has the world numbed us in a way that we are ensnared and unable to live the rest of our time in according to God's purposes. So let me read to you very quickly 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 1 to 6. In verse 1, "Therefore, since Christ suffered in his body, arm yourself also with the same attitude, because whoever suffers in the body is done with sin. And as a result, they do not live the rest of their earthly lives for evil human desires, but rather for the will of God. For you have spent enough time in the past doing what pagans chose to do, living in debauchery, lust, drunkenness, orgies, carousing, and detestable idolatry." And in verse 4, "They are surprised that you do not join them in their reckless, wild living, and they heap abuse on you. But they will have to give account to him who is ready to judge the living and the dead. For this is the reason the gospel was preached even to those who are now dead, so that they might be judged according to human standards in regard to the body, but live according to God in regard to the spirit." Now, one thing that will destroy the rest of our time and how we perceive time and how we choose to live our life is sin. No doubt. Sin is going to destroy the rest of our time if we continue to allow ourselves to live in sin. A believer living in sin is a terrible weapon in the hands of Satan. Can you still imagine you living as before you met Christ? Can you actually believe that you are a weapon of the evil one if you choose to live in sin? Now, that is a very serious accusation. That is a very serious accusation. But let's look at how Peter brought to our attention and how he encourages us to put sin aside, because it is a terrible weapon in the hands of Satan. So let us use our life, the remaining, the rest of our time, for God's glory. And how we can do that is that the first part, only 2 points today, a radical attitude toward sin. A radical. You notice sin as, you acknowledge sin as what it is, and then we are going to have a certain attitude towards dealing with sin. And of course, we have verses 1 to 3, and it is talking. We have been talking about suffering. And many of us, we don't really like to hear the word suffering, because it is never pleasant. It's not something good. We have to suffer, you know. It's not something good. But Peter has been again and again acknowledging and encouraging the believer to do what is right and suffer because of that. And just as how technology has numbed our sense of time, the world today has also numbed the effect of sins in our life. Now, one great tool that God has given to us is our eye. You know, our eye is simply just amazing. So if you are thinking about how evolution come about bringing our eye into perspective, if you notice the eye, if you have studied how the eye come about and how it works, you will realize that it is very hard for part of it to be evolved. And then the next part to be evolved. It has to be created as it is to be able to function and to be able to see as we are seeing today. So eye is a really good example. And we thank God that God has given us eyes because our eyes is simply amazing. 4K, 8K bits. It's nowhere near our eyes resolution. And we also see that our eyes has the capability or the ability to accustom to darkness. So if we switch off the light in this whole hall, and after a while, our eyes will be adjusted to the darkness, and we'll be able to see our fingers for a bit, we'll be able to move here and there. And you notice that, you know, pirates, you have been wondering why they have been wearing an eye patch. All right, it is when, if they need to fight in the dark, in the belly of the ship, they just open up their eye patch and immediately they can see. All right, so that has been the reason why pirates have been wearing their eye patch. And of course, if you want to get to understand what the blind is going through, of course, there are these two programs around Bukit Bintang area, Dialogue in the Dark, right, where you eat in the dark, they will blindfold you. And then Dining in the Dark is something similar along Changkat Bukit Bintang. So you pay and you get to experience what is it like to be blind in a way. Now, the problem is, as our eyes get accustomed to the darkness, sometimes our mentality and how we approach sin is also of the same way. Ayah, it's just a lie. It's just a small white lie for the person's good. So we brush sin aside, lying. Oh, it's just a small amount of money. God wouldn't, you know, ayah, God, this month I'm a bit tight. So my tithes, you know, my offering, I just reduce a bit. Next month, you know, if you bless me again, I will give you back the actual portion. So we, in a time like this, sometimes we are behaving like the eye. We are slowly accustomed to darkness. Bit by bit, smallly, you know, all the small things accumulated together, you'll notice that, hey, eventually, it's no big deal lah. Pastor Caleb, it's no big deal. We are all sinners, you know. We can still sin, but God will forgive me and all this stuff. There is this danger, brothers and sisters, that just as the technology has numbed our sense of time, the world is going to numb us of our sense of sin. Slowly and slowly, you'll notice that we are going into the darkness and accustomed to darkness. But that's not the end. We thank God for 1 John verses 1 to 5. 1 John chapter 1 verse 5 and 1 Corinthians chapter 4 verse 5. If you notice in the light, there is no darkness. As we come back to the Word of God, as we again and again align all our perception, align all our understanding of the world and align what the world's philosophy, teaching, feng shui, whatever. As we align all this to the Word of God, you will notice that there is no longer any darkness because God's light is going to illuminate whatever that's in the darkness. He will bring to light what is hidden in darkness and will expose the motives of the heart. So whether we are hiding from the people around us, whether we are putting up a mask, when the time comes, we will be able to see darkness for what it is. Because we have God's light in us. So we pray that, you know, as we continue to have, to reflect upon how we should live our life here on earth, we will always draw close and near to the light. And how in a practical way we can do to have this radical attitude towards sin is first of all by thinking of what sin did to Jesus. So most of us here, I believe we are Christian and we know exactly what sin has done to Jesus. Jesus has to forego his glory and majesty in heaven, be born as a baby, and have to run from heaven, have to live his life suffering here on earth, all the way to the cross to be dead. And we thank God again that is not the end. 3 days later, he rose from the dead, and 40 days later, he ascended to heaven, and it is now at the right hand of God. Now think for a moment here, a God who is willing to come to us 2,000 years ago. How many of the gods would say that they love you to the point that they are willing to die for you? How many gods that we have known in our past that request us to behave in such a manner so that he will bless us? Brothers and sisters, we are saved for a purpose. Christ suffered on the cross 2,000 years ago to accomplish that purpose in your life and in my life. So before Jesus Christ, you should notice at the first picture, we are dead spiritually. That's why there's a coffin there. And as we move on, as we accept Jesus Christ into our life, you notice that our spirit has been given and alive again with a heart. Then the next photo, you notice that even after we are changed, we are spiritually alive again, our soul and our body will not change automatically. Who we are emotionally, our will, we have to surrender it to the Spirit of God. So that our soul and our body ultimately, when we meet Jesus Christ again, we will be given a new one. So brothers and sisters, this is the hope that we have at the end of our journey there. If that's our beginning, right? The creation, and then, you know, the flood, Abraham, all this thing, up to this point, Jesus. And that end of the road is that when Jesus comes again, that is the hope that we have in Jesus Christ, giving us a new body, a new mind, and a new spirit. For Christ also suffered once for sins, the righteous for the unrighteous, to bring you, to bring me to God. He was put to death in the body, but made alive in the spirit. So this is the core, this is the foundation of what our belief is. The reason why we can live the rest of our life in a God-honoring manner is because of what Jesus Christ has done on the cross 2,000 years ago. And Christ did not have it smooth. He was born in a manger. We are going to go through that in the Christmas season next month. He has so many challenges and suffering. So we who belong to him, we are going to face suffering because we chose to say that we belong to God. And as we proclaim that we belong to the light, and as we proclaim that we belong to God, we will be having suffering coming our way. So we should not be surprised at all. We should not be surprised at the coming of suffering because we have chosen to follow God. Suffering will come. But the important question is that suffering will come, yes. Are we avoiding suffering for God and we turn back to sinning against God? Do we still remember why Jesus has to die on the cross? Now let me put another illustration. If a criminal stabbed your child to death, would you preserve the knife in a glass case in your house? Let's say this is a knife. Poke your child to death. Will you frame this up in your house? The murder weapon. And how many of you will do that? I believe none of us will frame this so-called murder weapon who brought Jesus to the cross. We could be ignorant of sin. But as we look at the scripture, Jesus has been teaching the truth and living it out. We could have been forgotten about the consequences of sin. But as we look at the scripture again and again, we see that God, through Jesus, gave healing and forgiveness. And if we have forgotten the consequences and the ultimate ending of sin, let us look at the cross, because at the cross, Jesus gave the final blow to sin. So today, let us have a radical attitude towards sin, but yet at the same time, a great compassion for lost sinners. These are two different things. We will explore it next year in our series of teaching. To have compassion for sinners, but yet at the same time, we have to reject sin. It is going to be a tough one. We are going to explore that in the near future. Now, one thing that is very, happening recently. I believe most of us receive certain WhatsApp messages in the YouTube. It could be in the YouTube, it could be in the WhatsApp, it could be in the TikTok, it could be in your, Instagram. Do you know what am I talking about? What was it about? All right, it is regarding the issue, you know, in Israel and Palestine. Right, so our country, or rather some of our leaders, has openly, right, boycott certain products. Okay, so these are amongst some of the products, and this is exactly the best time to go to McDonald's, KFC, no queue, a lot of offers coming up. Then after this boycott happened, you notice, maybe some of you, you notice that there is this certain parliament member who said that, you know, we should not boycott all of it. We should leave what? All right. So some of us are actually up to date. We should, you know, we should continue to use Mercedes-Benz. Our country is not perfect. Our leaders are not perfect. From this very simple example, you notice that there are double standards. Sometimes we Christians, we also have double standard, especially in our attitude towards sin. This one, no. Adultery, no. Gambling, no. But white lies can. So at times, somehow, you know, we have been numb in such a way that we are not able to stand our front. Certain things, big sins, so-called big sins, cannot. Small sins, maybe, depending on the situation. Now, brothers and sisters, we just want to encourage you that suffering plus Christ in our lives equals to victory over sin. Suffering plus Jesus Christ in our life equals to victory over sin. We are bound to have suffering. We have Jesus in our life. Therefore, we can proclaim that we have victory over sin. Now, as we look at the Old Testament, you notice that this may not happen. Because, if you notice, the Pharaoh in Egypt, he suffered. He suffered a lot. But without God in the picture, he sinned even more. Without God in the picture, even though the Pharaoh in Egypt suffered, he sinned even more. So are you suffering in the body because you are done with sin? Now the second way where we can radically treat sin as it is to enjoy the will of God. Is to enjoy the will of God. So we have here in verse 2, as a result, they do not live the rest of their earthly lives for evil human desires, but rather for the will of God. So it's against human desires versus the will of God. Doing the will of God is going to be investing the rest of our time into what is lasting, into what is more eternal, into what is more satisfying. So again, we also explore what is the will of God next year. So very briefly, what is the will of God for each and every one of us? The Great Commandment, the Great Commission, and the Great Compassion. So quickly take a photo. I will not be going through this today. As Christians, sometimes, you know, we have been asking, God, why is this happening to me? God, why is cancer relapsing? God, why is my younger brother who is younger than me just went home to the Lord like that? God, why is there such an injustice in this world? Where are you, God? We cannot enjoy the will of God when we have all these doubts that is unclear of. We can have doubts. Doubt is a way that we can strengthen our faith. But as we linger upon these doubts without an answer, we are going to unable to fully enjoy the will of God because we keep asking why instead of remembering who God is. We are living on explanations. God, why this, why that, why this, why that, how come like this? We have to remember that as Christians, we live on the promises of God. We may not understand what He is doing, but we know that He is doing what is best for us. And this statement will take great faith to digest. This statement, we will need great faith to live it out in our life. How many of us can say that? God, we may not understand what You are doing, but God, we know that what You are doing is the best of us, is the best for us today. How many of us can truly say that to God right now? God bless you. It is very, very hard to put our faith in such a manner that we are willing to trust in God because of His promises and because of who He is. Instead of questioning and asking for explanations, that is faith. And that is how we can truly enjoy the will of God. And how do we radically, how do we radically have an attitude towards sin? The last point is that we are to remember what we were before we met Christ. Now we are somebody. We are somebody, I believe, that is totally different from who we are today before we met Christ. That I truly believe. And all of us, we have something ugly. We have something that we are not really, we don't want people to know that part of our history. And today, let us be reminded that we have a history before God intervened in our life. It could be this, it could be that. We have a whole list there. And in the scripture, we have even long lists. Now, I'm not here to bring back all those bad memories of how we have been sinning against God before we know who God is. But the key point for us today is to remember so that we will not return to who we are before. We see that God urged Israel to remember that they had been once a slave in Egypt. And Paul himself to also remember that he had been persecuting believers before he met Jesus on the way to Damascus. So brothers and sisters, we sometimes forget the bondage of sin. Sometimes we only remember the passing pleasures of sin. And of course, there is a big list there. And not all of us, is belonging to that list. But nevertheless, we were still sinners until the day where we meet Jesus Christ. We are still sinners. But the question today is that as we have a radical attitude towards sin, do we want to go back from belonging to God to becoming like the world and sin against God again and again? Do you still want to go back to that kind of lifestyle? Prayerfully, none of us here are still enemies of God. We may sin, we may fall, come back. Always, always come back to God. So the first point, a radical attitude towards sin. Think of what sin did to Jesus. Enjoy the will of God and remember who we were, what we were before we met Christ. Now the practical part is this, second part. A patient attitude towards the lost. In verses 4 to 6, we notice that there are a few points that we can learn from this passage. The first one is that unsaved people, people who do not know who God is, they cannot understand us. They cannot understand the radical change in our lives When we trust God, when we trust Jesus Christ, when we put our faith in God and became the children of God. Have you had friends asking you this? Hey, what happened to you? How come you're different? Anyone of us has that experience? After you believe in Jesus Christ and put your faith in Him, there was a radical change in your life. No? We need to increase our circle of influence. We need to increase our circle of influence so much so that those who do not know God can see the difference in your life. And they will question, how come so-and-so behave in such a manner? When the boss tattle them, when they do and stand up for what is right, even though they lost the opportunity of being, promoted, they are still willing to do and choose what is right. Why? Why, my friend is willing to go to such an extent? Prayerfully, there will be people around our life that will ask us this. They will question our faith. Why are you like that? Because normal occurrence today with power, with lust, and with money, you help me, I help you, all this stuff. The normal occurrences today is that they are willing to destroy their bodies with substances, and it is normal. That person smoking is normal lah. Vaping is normal. People are doing it today, ma. Young people. It is a normal occurrence where they destroy families with infidelity. It must be the wife lah. Something wrong with the wife, so the husband did this. Or it must be something wrong with the husband, so the wife did this. It is normal today. And it could be normal to destroy careers by running from one sin to the other. So today, the normal, so-called normal occurrences are that people living in sin, that's normal. It's like that one. What is abnormal is when a drunkard becomes sober. Hey, why you don't drink anymore? What happened to you? What is abnormal today is that an immoral person becomes pure. Hey, last time you thought all this, tai yong sing sing yu ha hai. Do you understand my meaning? Your words always have the four-letter word, three-letter word, all these words, right? What happened to you? Why you change? These abnormal occurrences in the world today, sadly, the people are taking it in a different manner because they belong to the world. And the scripture actually said that in Mark chapter 3, verse 21. His family members is actually saying that, Jesus, you are out of your mind, man. Let me bring Jesus back. Sorry for the confusion. Sorry for all the commotion that he created. He is just out of his mind. This is what Jesus' family said in chapter 3, the book of Mark 21. We must be patient toward the lost. You will notice that the way they think, what is normal, what is abnormal, is so out of tune. We must be patient toward the lost. By being patient means that we do not agree of their lifestyle, but yet at the same time, we do not participate in their sin. But we are to show who God is because we are called to be the light in our circle of influence. And the other reason why they are behaving in this manner is that it is found here in 2 Corinthians 4, 3-4 and Ephesians 2:1, is that they are blind to spiritual truth and they are dead to spiritual enjoyment. If you remember the little photo or little picture that I show you, inside them the spirit is dead, it's a coffin. What is normal, what is abnormal, they are not able to see. And because we are able to understand it, we are able to see, because we are given a new spirit, we help them to see. We help them to see. In verse 3, and even if our gospel is real, it is real to those who are perishing, those who are gone, going to be gone without God in their life. The God of this age has blinded the minds of unbelievers so that they cannot see the light of the gospel that displays the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. We have a problem here, brothers and sisters, and that is why mission, that is why evangelism is so important. We are the light, and God has called us to be the light of our circle of influence, and God has called us to go and bring light into the darkness, especially to those who are just. So brothers and sisters, the unsaved will judge us, the unsaved will speak evil of us, they will oppose us. But bear in mind that our contact with those who are lost is important to them, not us. Our contact with the lost, we being patient with the lost, is not for our sake, but it is for their sake. And God has placed them into our circle of influence. We are going to be responsible to them, because we are perhaps the only bearer of truths to what they need. They need the light. We are the light. We could be the only light in their lives. Remember to be patient with them. Again, be reminded that we are going to face judgment. And while we are in these human bodies, in our flesh, we are judged by human standards. How we live our life, we follow the world, we are lawful, we are unlawful, we break the law, we don't break the law. But one day, brothers and sisters, we have to remember that we will be with the Lord in the Spirit. We will receive the true and final judgment from Jesus Christ Himself. And that weighs a lot more than what the world is calling us today. So let this be the conclusion for the first part, to have a radical attitude towards sin, to think of what sin did to Jesus, to remember the will of God, and to remember who we were before we met Christ, and also to have a patient attitude towards the lost, so that ultimately, as we suffer for doing what is good, we still be able to shine for Jesus. Let us pray. Father in heaven, we know that it is very challenging for us to live in this very slippery world. Slippery in the sense that, Lord, abnormal, normal, all these are all haywire, Lord. Everything is in chaos. Wherever there's in light, Lord, we pray that you will help us to be the light so that the darkness can no longer have any function and any ensnarement, especially to those people who are still trapped in the darkness. And we pray that, Lord, you will have your amazing grace in and out and through us, Lord, that through your amazing grace, all our chains are broken. All our ensnarement are broken. And we want to thank you for the everlasting power through Jesus Christ in our life, that you have sent your Holy Spirit to guide us, to teach us, to admonish us, to do what is right. And we pray that, Lord, your Holy Spirit will continue to work in our lives, to love and be patient to those who are still lost. And we pray that, Lord, your Holy Spirit will also remind us of what is right and what is wrong, and to have a radical attitude towards sin in our life. We pray that, Lord, all this will be fruitful in our life, that we are able to see that we are behaving like you, to be more Christ-like. And we are praying that, Lord, you will continue to grant us the strength and also the perseverance, the courage and boldness to stand up for what is right. And we pray that we will look forward to your judgment, where you will call us good and faithful servant ultimately. So Lord, we look forward to the day. We pray that you will help us to go through life. In Jesus' name we give thanks and pray.